and welcome to the real world of autism. My name is Chantal Cecile Kira, and I'm your host today. I'm joined by Carl Smith, who is an engineer, father of a child with autism, and founder of Accelerations Educational Softwares. With his company, he has developed the Discrete Trial Trainer and the Activity Trainer, which teaches skills. Hi, Carl, and welcome to my show.
Hi, Chantal. How are you today?
Good. I'm so happy that you're here today, because I have seen the Discrete Trial Trainer as well as the Activity Trainer for a while, and I have always found them to be tools that could be helpful to people, but being a complete, not technologically enhanced individual, I've always wanted to know more about how to make it work or how it helps someone with autism, which is why I was really happy when I ran into you at a few conferences and you were able to show me and explain to me more about how these products were able to help your child. Didn't you initially develop these products to help your child?
Yes. After my own son was diagnosed with autism at 2.5, this was back in the late 90s, I originally created the DT Trainer to emulate what the his therapists were doing with him, but where he could at least learn some of what he needed to know on his own time. And he could learn, but it was, you know, the training and the therapy, which is, you know, is very, very, you know, expensive, and, you know, and the more we could get him to learn on his own, then the therapist could basically work on other things besides what he could do on his own.
Right. So, in fact, because we normally, with discrete trial, they say that you need a certain number of hours of it for it to be effective, does this, working with the discrete trial trainer, effectively replace some of those hours?
Well, we don't really recommend it to replace the hours. This, you know, the child's going to be doing something for more like about, you know, 90, 95 hours per week besides sleeping and eating and various things like that. They're going to be doing something. So the more hours we can get them doing the right kinds of things with their brain instead of the wrong kinds of things, then the faster they can you know, come more into our world.
Right, right. It's true that practice makes perfect.
Right.
So let's talk a little bit about your background, because I'm sure that not everybody can just get up one day and decide to translate a good method of teaching a child into something on a computer. What is your background in engineering, and how did that help you in this arena?
Well, even before I started college, I was a drug and alcohol counselor in the military, and I'd done various types of teaching. Then through college, my area was not, you know, not only electrical and computer engineering, but also artificial intelligence. And so I was taking courses in linguistics and psycholinguistics and behavioral and cognitive psychology, and doing readings in neurology, and kind of a, you know, I was interested in the way the human mind, you know, worked in terms of applications to artificial intelligence. And then I was a long-term tutor, and then I also had other experience in business afterwards. And then as a and then I was a consultant for many years, developing programs or software for AT&T and Sandia Labs and Los Alamos Labs and Tennessee Valley Authority, and even a project for the United Nations. So I had a really nice, diverse set of different types of projects. So I just saw this as an opportunity where I could apply my skills to making a difference for our own community. When you have a child with autism, it basically changes your life, as you know. And I was a person that basically could do something about it.
You're right, and it does seem that with your background, with the intelligence knowledge, the background, and your psychology background, as well as working on all those different projects, it really sounds like a wonderful mix for being able to understand how to develop educational technology.
Well, the piece that was missing was really the domain expertise. Now, I had somewhat of the domain knowledge in terms of working with my own son and seeing what his therapists were doing with him, but I got this out, and you know, after my first early work in doing like a discrete trial program on the computer, I immediately got it out to conferences like the Applied Behavioral Analysis Conference and the ASA conference and CEC, the Council on Exceptional Children, and those kinds of conferences to, you know, make sure that what I was doing would be, you know, I wasn't reinventing the wheel, that these were things that were useful, plus to meet the academics and the researchers and teachers and parents and other domain experts that could really help guide this project. This is certainly not something that somebody can just come up with, you know, on their own. It's based on a lot of other people's discussion, based on decades of research in, you know, behavioral psychology, and my research partner, Dr. Robert Stromer, had been researching how do you teach children with autism via the computer, via behavioral methodology, for about 15 years, and we met up at a conference. So I got a lot of, you know, got a lot of help in what to do in terms of methods, what kind of content to put in. You know, it's not something you're just going to be able to, you know, do on your own, no matter how good of a program you are.
Right.
You still don't have, you know, the domain expertise. And some of the collaborators have been people like Bridget Taylor of Alpine Learning mm-hmm. Group. Mm-hmm. She's had a lot of, been very supportive. Mary McDonald of Eaton 2 Genesis School. I mean, the people that I would have to cite and just, you know, and really credit for a lot of the guidance and mentoring. So I would just kind of, it would just go on and on and on.
Right.
Educators, parents, you know, just a wide range of individuals contributing to this effort.
Yeah, because you need not only the research, but also the direct application in the sense of the people using it. How does it really apply to what they're doing, and is it easy enough for them to use, and can
right.
they do that easily at home or in school? And is there one
right.
particular moment that was a defining moment for you where you got this idea, like the light bulb that hit above your head, or was it like a general awakening over time?
Well, I wouldn't classify it as either. It was just something that, you know, I first created for my own son, but I knew that there was a lot of work to be done. So I went through a lot of no-go decision points. I didn't want to reinvent the wheel, obviously, mm-hmm. and spend a lot of money on something that, you know, had already been done well. And so I got it out to teachers. I mean, first thing was it useful for my own son, and could he work with it? Yeah, you know, and the answers were yes. He took to it, you know, very, you know, very, very, very quickly. And then it's all data-driven, so you can see that he's progressing and all that kind of stuff. So,
right.
And then I got it out to school districts initially for free, and they, you know, so they found it useful and gave me some very, you know, useful feedback on the kinds of features they needed to make it practical in the classroom and so on. I got it out to homes, same thing, you know, make sure it's practical in the homes. And then in the early, in 2000, basically, they started coming on board, even though it was still a very, you know, young and immature product. You know, the school district started actually purchasing the software, and it's just been an evolution, you know, since then. But like I said, there was a lot of go, no-go decision points, and that that went to, you know, that was a combination, going to conferences, getting it out to schools, did schools want it, was I solving a real problem, and then would they actually buy it and support it, so on. And so if I was going to work on this stuff full-time, since I'm not, you know, a wealthy person myself, you know, I would have to figure out a way to actually make a living off of it. And then as I grew the number of employees and so on, that there would be sufficient revenues to support that,
right.
you know, that staff, because you not only have to create it, but you also have to, you know, to distribute it and market it, and then you also have to support it.
Right.
People need to be able to know how to actually use the software.
Right. Yes, I can imagine. But I can imagine that the feedback that you got from the teachers when it was positive was something that really encouraged you to move forward, because that's one thing that's really difficult for the teachers is having time to actually take data, and also on if a child is generalizing or not. Now, I know it's not really generalizing to say he does it with a person, but then in his free time he can also do it on the computer, but it is generalizing from having someone prompt you through it to having a computer do that.
Right, right. And then we built things into the program to support generalizing. generalization. We use randomized SDs or commands, instructions, so we don't just say it the same way. Just like, you know, when we're doing teaching face-to-face with our kids, we do have to program for generalization because that's a very frequent problem
right.
with our kids.
Right.
And so what you do is you randomize the way that you're saying things. You randomize the images. Use photo. If you're using pictures and so on, you actually use real photos instead of cartoons and
right.
things which are more easily identified with the real world, but with like the backgrounds removed. So those are called photo icons. So there's things that we can do within the program to help facilitate the generalization. But you know, the more we can get the child doing it on their own, and you know, it's just amazing how low of a functioning child can become an independent learner with like the assistance of a touchscreen. So they all they have to do is go up and point to the answer. So even some very very low functioning kids, where some teachers have told me, that people wouldn't even think of trying these people on or these kids on computers, and they're independent on the software.
Wow, that's really encouraging. That's really nice to hear. So it's really basically an application that can be used for a wide range of different types of learners.
Right, right. Yeah, it's you know, the thing about a child with autism is that, what was the expression? Like, what, if you've met one autistic child, you've met one autistic child.
Right.
or,
that's true.
Or person with autism, whatever. It's you know, they're all over the map. You know, the point is, and so, you know, they do tend to have some strengths and some weaknesses and so on in their learning, but their issues are just very, 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 you know, varied or just all over the map, like I said. So you have to be able to, and in fact, effective teaching of these kids is about accommodating each child. So in the software, what it means is that you need to have quite flexible or configurable software. Now, we default everything so that they, you know, the people don't have to actually go in and set every setting possible. And usually the settings are pretty good for most of the kids, but where maybe the tokens are going to bother some child, whatever the smallest percentage of those kids, you can actually turn the tokens off, or you can configure the reinforcement, you can change the reinforcement. So you can make it for a very, very low functioning child, all the way up to a typically developing but young child. Because all
right.
of us will work for the concept of reinforcement. We all work for reinforcement. So just because our system is a much, much, much more powerful reinforcement system than almost any other software out there, or any other software out there actually, you know, we have a huge variety. It's very configurable and so on. You know, being able to customize the reinforcement is good for anybody.
Right.
So on. And then photo icons, which help, which support a lower functioning child, learn the concept that works for that lower functioning child, but, and maybe the higher functioning child could have gotten it with like a little drawing or a cartoon, they certainly will still learn it with the photo icon.
Right.
So there's techniques that work for that the lower functioning child absolutely has to have to make their learning more efficient, but also work with you know, your higher functioning individual.
Right. Can you tell me what kind of concepts could you use this program to help teach?
Well, the DT Trainer covers everything from basic letters and numbers and colors and body parts and shapes all the way up to time, money, math, word problems, Dolch words, and so on. It's receptive language, early academics, and life skills. Their development range is about 2 to 9 years old. We don't baby the individual, though, so even if a person, let's say, is 16, 17, 18, or even an adult, and they're at a 4 or 5 year old developmental level, they don't reject the software because it looks babyish. So they will actually, they usually, not a, you know, these kids are all over the map, so it's, you know, not 100%, but the vast majority, you know, don't shut down because of the approach. Whereas if they see, you know, if you got an 18-year-old or 16-year-old, and they have little bunnies running across the screen or whatever, that, you know, is a big turnoff to them.
Right.
They
right.
really don't want to do it. And especially, and then if you have an adult, it's even worse.
Yeah. So what do you have for the adults? You have tequila bottles on the screen?
Well, you know, there's everything from, there's music you can even put in websites. You can do videos of them doing something.
Okay.
There's games. You know, there's things that look babyish, certainly, for those younger kids. But then there's things where, you know, there's reinforcers or little games and exercises that, you know, actually are configurable. We call our smart reinforcers, and you can configure them for an incredibly low functioning child all the way up to be challenging enough for, you know, for adults or, you know,
people on the more able end.
Right. Right.
So now,
I mean, some of my find challenging. And actually, the funny thing is that the teachers a lot of times just love to play little games on here.
Really?
And then the yeah.
Well, they need their maybe that's the only positive reinforcement they're getting during the day.
There you go. And then when you make a child successful, you know, that becomes reinforcing in and of itself.
Correct.
So a lot of the kids, you know, sometimes they're in home ABA programs or they're in school programs, and they're requesting after doing a bunch of work with a person, with a teacher, or, you know, a therapist, they're requesting this as one of their free play activities.
That's
so
great.
They're just playing.
That's great.
No, and they're getting more work.
It's sort of
that just kind of blows my mind where they're requesting more work for doing work.
Yeah, but you know, it's sort of
goes toward, you know, that they find this, you know, that they've learned that they can learn, and we all like, you know, none of us like to be unsuccessful. You know, we don't like to bang our head against the wall, and I think a lot of our kids understand that they can't learn, that they have a hard time learning, and they just give up. So if you can show them they can learn, and that's a lot of what, you know, ABA and these various teaching methods, you know, are about, whether it's teach or ABA or, you know, RDI or whatever. If you kind of get down into some of their core methodologies, you know, that they're about making that child successful in that learning environment. They control the stimulation. They find what the child's going to work for. They do the task analysis and break it down to the point that the child can be successful.
Right.
And, you know, and so that, then the whole environment becomes motivating.
Right. So now the discrete trial trainer is the first product that you had. And how many school districts and private schools and people do you think are using it?
Well, we just passed about 800 school districts. We should be over 1,000 by the end of the year. We're in about 200 private schools and service providers, or 220, I think the last count, or somewhere in there, and then thousands of homes. And then there's a lot of assistive technology centers and other places, what we call advocates, that also are out showing people the software. You go into them, you can see the software. They have loaner CDs and so on. And then there's several hundred universities that have it for their teaching labs and demonstration systems and you know, teaching the future teachers and so on about new technologies. We give anybody a free presentation or demonstration license that needs to be able to go out and show the software.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of those people. And plus, you know, we're able to get a lot of people on our side as part of this community because on the back end we don't charge a lot.
Right.
You know, for it. You know, we make it. It's you know, the whole mission is about creating both effective and yet affordable tools for our kids. And one way I like to say it is, no matter how great a tool is, if you can't afford it, but you know how, you know, it's worthless to you.
Exactly.
So, but I think this is also smart business in that when you make a cost-effective solution if you make it cost-effective for the wide range of people, then actually the revenues can be a lot higher, you know, over time as you get it used in these various other situations. So, you know, even though it was designed for kids with autism, some schools use it on about a 9-to-1 ratio outside of autism. Right now, we're impacting something around on the order of maybe 10,000 kids with autism. Somewhere between 25,000 and 30,000 kids total.
Right.
But in some schools, you know, strictly use it with their kids with autism. Most users have children with autism, some Down syndrome, and a few other cognitive disabilities. But the majority of our home users are definitely the autism community.
Right. So let me ask you this, because I have to say that I've heard about your discrete trial trainer and I've known about it for quite some time, but I was really excited to hear about your activity trainer, and which has to do with video modeling, because that's something that I think, isn't it true that it's been proven that video modeling actually helps children to learn, but yet we don't see enough products out there. Sometimes we tend to, as parents, to have to make our own videos, which ultimately is a nice thing to do, but quiet, time-consuming for some of us. So do you
right.
want to talk a little bit about the activity trainer? Because I think that's really exciting.
Well, from the DT trainer and all of its, all the research that had gone into that and seeing the opportunity there, which teaches concepts, but then I saw this other area where, our kids, they need to learn skills, and which is another huge area. And then another area is with actually speech. And, there's a number of areas that the technology can impact. But with learning skills, the method, the research goes back 15 to 20 years. Every conference you go to, there's another session or two or three or a poster or whatever on, how video modeling has been applied to another area and showing how effective it is in that. And, and I've seen materials come out, materials have been coming out actually for the last 10 to 15 years, and yet it's still not common practice with our kids. And so a couple years ago, or almost 2.5, 3 years ago, my research partner and I, Dr. Robert Schomer, we started looking at this this issue, why isn't this being used? And basically, what turned out as, and products have been available, which was the, and people, they do create some of their own, some people create their own stuff, but there's been videos out there starting with videotapes, for the last 10 to 15 years. So the problem has been that if you want to do a particular activity or skill with the child, trying to find something on that videotape, or the, now the media player, the DVD, CD, whatever it's, whatever it's on, trying to find something, especially if you have to do the, if the child can't learn this, the whole thing at, just playing the whole video and they learn it. Some kids, the higher functioning kids can do that, but a lot of our kids, they need it broken down. They need the task analysis. And so to try to play a little precise piece of video was impractical.
Yeah.
How do you ski into that point? How do you play that? How do you immediately replay it? How do you do the next piece? And then there wasn't any support for data collection or the sequencing of those things. So there wasn't really a learning environment. And it turned out that video modeling is not just about playing videos. It's about the micromanagement of it. And no tool had been designed for that micromanagement. So that's what we did. So we created the tool so that you can have, just like the DT trainer, you can have any number of kids. Each child then can set up any number of activities that you're working on, with them. Each activity then has a number of ways of playing the activity already prepackaged into it. So all the task analysis can be there, all the sequencing, can be there, transitions from video to images and images to text. So like, our kids tend to be very visual learners.
Right. So
if a child can't go from just the video, being able to do it there, and then be able to do it off in the real world, just on the road, they need to have some sort of visual crutch or, aid. You can transition them from the video to the images. And Stromer had researched that under PowerPoint for many years and so on. And then likewise, you can, if they can read, you can actually transition them from the images to the text. So you can use this for reading comprehension. I mean, this is just really a lot of stuff you can do with the environment once you kind of pull these various resources. And then you can not only just do video, but you can have video and images and audio and text. So you have these multimedia or a number of resources, and then you can also build in the worksheets. So if there's things that they need to do on a worksheet, coloring and various kinds of problems, and fine motor skills, and on, you can have all those. So, just a lot of stuff you can do
So did you start,
once you put it into this environment.
Did you start with the skills that your son needed to learn? And did you test it on him first? Is that how you did it?
Well, actually, I you know, worked with some of my partners, you know, got their input on the kinds of things that they would like to see. Plus, we had, you know, we have veteran special teachers on board, you know, with the company and so on, and, you know, the kinds of things that they had had, you know, teach the kids. And then we just kind of just basically started out with a set of things, you know, and but some of them were things that I needed for my own son. And, for example, the first thing I tried with him was shoe tying. And
that
was a skill that I, you know, I've been trying to teach him for like 4 years, you know, and had made no progress on. Well, with the activity trainer, with the task analysis, I was able to, you know, start with just cross the laces, and we started with off, you know, off the foot. So the video is actually showing it doing a tabletop.
Right.
And then basically, you know, it's cross the laces. So now it no longer looked like this mountain. It looked like just crossing laces, and I could actually, you know, he could see what he was supposed to do without any, and I could really tell what he was looking at because doing it on the floor before, you know, I wasn't sure if he was looking at the floor or what I was doing.
Right.
My hands, his shoes. Plus, I'm able to facilitate at the same time. I'm able to help him with his fine motor, you know, and then, you know, through the normal fading, you know, techniques and so on, just, you know, fade out my support. You know, obviously, if you can get them just to watch the video and mimic it, that's great. But if you need to facilitate, if you need to do some external prompting, you can do that in parallel with the video.
Right.
And then they don't, they hate watching us. The weird thing is they hate watching us and mimicking us, but they'll watch the video or the TV or the computer or the TV.
Yeah.
You tend to like these environments. Not everyone, but the vast majority of our population tends to be attracted to the computer or to the TV.
Right.
So they'll watch the same thing on the TV, so it's not a threatening environment.
Well, it's interesting.
It's something.
It's interesting because my son is one of those who is not a visual learner, and I think there are a lot of people with autism who are not visual learners. We just, they're the ones that we think of as less able sometimes. But he is having some vision therapy now, which is really helping him. So I'm going to be interested in trying again the activity trainer with my son because, again, with his vision processing issues, we don't know what he's taken in visually, but we know that he's an auditory learner. And he's really making great strides with the vision therapy, so we're hoping that he will be learning more through his eyes. But it's really great the way, when I looked at the activity trainer with him, how everything is really brought down, like through task analysis, into little steps, because that is the most important thing for the people who have difficulty learning, is taking one little step at a time. I mean, that's how we learn everything.
And for that child that's not a good visual learner, the, you know, the more it's broken down, the better. And the more that you can repeat it, and the more consistent it is.
Correct.
And the less threatening it is. All of those things help that child that's not the visual learner, too.
Exactly.
Not their strength. But, you know, that's certainly one that can be built. That's certainly, you know, an area that they can get better at. The brain is a phenomenally adaptive, you know, device, and it you know, if you push on it long enough and hard enough, it can make these, you know, just remarkable changes. It can figure out how to do things, but it needs that intensity.
Yeah, and I think that people don't realize how much there's always an opportunity for learning, and, you know, I mean, it is very important to have early intervention, but your brain never stops learning. And in fact, I have a book coming out in October, and for that book, I just interviewed people on the spectrum. I didn't interview parents or experts. It's all based on, it's called Autism Life Skills, and it's all based on people with autism. And it's really exciting because I interviewed so many people, and it was really interesting how many of them, and I interviewed people considered on the more able end of the spectrum and those considered less able who type to communicate, and all of them were saying how there are certain things they only learn later in life that parents should never give up because they work still learning. And so I found that very encouraging because, you know, we always think, well, if they haven't learned it by now, And that's why it is so important. And also, I have to say, with my son who's 19 and the vision therapy, I mean, he's very on the less able end of the spectrum when it comes to anything that's motor and eye-hand coordination. And even at the vision therapist, the change they see from one week to the next, because my son is trying so hard and he repeats things, and with the doing things over and over again, he makes such progress from week to week. They were flabbergasted. And he's 19, he's not 5. And
right.
So your brain, so this kind of discrete trial trainer or activity trainer is the kind of thing, you know, you can still use at any age, I would think.
Right. Well, a lot of times, doing something actually requires 4 or 5 or, you know, a number of different skills. And it's just that one of those skills, even just one of those skills is missing, even though all the other areas are really, really good, you know, for that individual. Just one of those can prevent them from succeeding.
Right.
So, so basically continue to work, on these various skills. For example, with my own son, diverge on that, my own son with the DT trainer, we had been trying to teach, and let me also say that with shoe tying, he learned it in 2 weeks on the activity trainer,
okay.
Which is like, you know, the 4 years. And then the other, kind of one of the other big success things that I had with Carl, probably the biggest thing on the DT trainer, was we had been trying to teach him how to read for about 4 years, and absolutely making no progress. I mean, even cat, dog, both as sight words or sounding out or anything. I mean, after 4 years, still making absolutely no progress. Well, I went in and did a two-letter and a three-letter matching program in the DT trainer. Within 2 weeks, he was able to do elephant. Within just a few years, he became the best speller in the class.
That's great.
You know, he's hyperlexic, you know, so his
comprehension
still lags. You know,
yeah.
I mean, he's still, you know, working on the comprehension. You know, he understands a good bit, but there's certainly his decoding is ahead of his comprehension. But if you can't decode, then you can't, read. And now and the difference in life trajectory for a child that reads versus doesn't read is huge.
Yeah. How, may I ask how old your son is?
Sure. He's 13, almost 14.
Yeah. Okay. An adolescent then. Yeah.
Yep. And going through those issues now.
Right. So you're reading my second book, I hope. The Adolescent Issue Book. That should help you. Maybe you need to, that's what you should do. You should develop a program to deal with all these adolescent issues so the parents can watch it, but also the children can learn some certain aspects. Because there's a lot of areas that aren't covered that have to do with puberty that I think you could possibly develop some kind of program for. How's that for thinking?
There's like the activity trainer really focuses on how to do things. There's another area, basically, Carol Gray's social stories, and then my friend Mark Shelley had basically he was a PR and movie guy.
Yeah.
They then collaborated and created this thing called Story Movies.
Right.
So this has some, it's a little bit like the, the activities or whatever, except that the focus on this is more like the whys and, the why things happen.
Right. The concepts.
So
the concepts.
Concepts.
Yeah.
So I would think that would be, those would be the kind of things. And, we're talking, we're, the activity trainer is actually created in such a way that, we have our own library that we're building, and then people get, like, if they buy the product, they'll get a year of updating support, and then they can continue to do that year after year and so on. But the, and then they can build their own activities within the product. So it's a tool. It's like PowerPoint for video modeling.
Right.
So they can create their own things. And then the third thing we're looking at is actually third-party libraries.
That's interesting.
So people can plug in, and I'm talking to a number of places about having, having their libraries, being able, where customers can buy these other people's libraries, for the product. And so, even Story Movies may eventually be playable under, the Activity Trainer.
Right.
And so on. But we're reaching out to a number of places, and
well, that sounds
hopefully
great.
Over time, then those things will become available.
Well, our time is almost up here, and I wanted to know, are there other any things that you wanted to mention that we haven't covered? Other than your website. And also I wanted to say, don't you have some things available as free trials so people could try them out?
Sure. On our website, dttrainer.com, www.dttrainer, as in discreet trial trainer, dttrainer.com. You can go there, you can request, you can either download either DT Trainer or Activity Trainer trials, or, these are kind of big things, so if you have any problems with the download, you can just request the CD and we'll send it out. And the CD will install any number of systems, so you can share with other teachers, parents, whatever. Each installation will run for 30 days without registration. So you try it out with your students or kids, and then if you decide to buy, it's not going to break the bank. I mean, it's something that's affordable for parents or schools.
But that's great.
I
love the idea that you can try it out, because there's nothing worse than buying something and not realizing, not really being able to use it with your child.
I know I've spent, I don't know how much money, on things that, I was hoping or that I just could try out with my son, and he wasn't ready for it, or it wasn't quite right for him, or whatever. So yeah, this is very intentional to make it, because it's not for every single child, but the vast majority of our community would benefit, even if they don't take to it initially. I mean, a lot of times you have to sort of break down that barrier, because sometimes they don't want to try anything new.
Yeah.
And so you have to slowly introduce it to them, build up, you break down the resistance to it by motivating or giving them some other reinforcer, then you build success, then comes desire and motivation by that environment, so on. So, but anyway, we let people try it out for free.
Well, that's great. It's really good that you're explaining all this, and I am so happy that you were able to make it on the show today, because I think that besides producing these wonderful products, it's so great to see somebody who had a child with autism but has taken all his past life experiences and work experiences and developed something that's actually helping many people in the community. So I want to thank you for that, Carl.
Well, you're welcome. There's one other little project I can mention if you have time.
We just have a minute, so go ahead.
Okay, 1 minute. Okay. Well, there was another a speech product that had actually been developed in the late 90s and early 2000s, and they lost their funding in the .com collapse, and had a lot of really nice research behind it. The developer of that approached me here late last year, and so we're working on that. But that'll be our third tool to actually help develop and give a comfortable environment for speech, so that it actually listens to the child and is able to help them with their articulation and their recognition of their various items. It has a really nice library. We're taking our Activity Trainer front end or user interface and putting it around that tool. So that's one that's coming down the pipe. And then another thing I'd like to create is a thing called remote mentoring to solve another problem. There's a lot of things that we can do with technology, and I hope people start kind of looking at not only what methodologies that our kids need, but also like what kinds of technologies
can
leverage that.
Well, I hope you'll keep me in the loop so I can invite you back when you have some of those products. I want to know when those two other things are out. They sound really exciting.
Good.
So
thank you.
I just want to remind everyone, it's been Carl Smith from Accelerations Educational Software, which is the company that's developed the Discrete Trial Trainer and the Activity Trainer. And you can get more information about it as well as a free 30-day trial by going to the website, which is www.dttrainer.com. And that's DT Trainer as in Discrete Trial Trainer. Thank you so much for being on the show, Carl.
Thank you for having me.
And for all the listeners out there, make sure that you have a wonderful day and make the world that you want to see.